In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my favorite books from my reads this year was the book American Dirt by Janine Cummings. It's the story of a mother and her young son fleeing one of the drug cartels in Mexico for the U.S. and their journey from Acapulco to the U.S. border. The book wasn't without controversy for being written by a non-Latinx and non-immigrant. And yet the story, even though a work of fiction, grabbed me from the beginning. One of the things that stuck with me was the difficulty of the journey, the danger, no access to water, to bathroom facilities of any kind, to food or to a safe place to sleep. The characters, after weeks of travel, finally arrive in the U.S., filthy, hungry, dehydrated, and still scared and unsure of their future. I'm sure, although the story was not a true one, it is very much like what is true for so many migrants who try to get to the U.S. from South and Central America. What comes to mind for me this Christmas is perhaps a similar journey, the one of Mary and Joseph. They might not have been running from a violent drug cartel, although soon after Jesus's birth, they would flee to Egypt to escape a murderous king, but they did have a very long and difficult journey to a town completely unknown to them. Did you know that they traveled nearly 100 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem for that census ordered by Emperor Augustus? And even though we often depict Mary riding on a donkey, nowhere in the Bible does it say she rode one. It's more likely that they walked. They probably traveled in a group of others heading to Bethlehem for the same reason they were, as it would have been safer to travel in numbers. Those roads were not safe for a man and a woman to be traveling alone, and I'm sure that Joseph would have wanted to keep Mary and the unborn baby as safe as he could. It would have taken them at least 8 to 10 days of steady walking. Mary was pregnant. The terrain was tough. Water would have been hard to find and needed to be carried, precious for drinking, never mind washing. Unlike those of us who did the 70 plus mile St. Cuthbert's Way walk, they were not stopping at B&Bs along the way to rest and wash up and have a good meal and then a nice breakfast before heading out the next day. But they went. They had no choice. They went because it was demanded of them by a man who lived in luxury and rode a chariot. And when they arrived, they couldn't check into a hotel, grab a hot shower and a meal. They couldn't find a room at all in all of Bethlehem. The place was packed with people there for the census, and apparently they all got there first. Yet some kind innkeeper, a stranger, offered his barn. At least it got them out of the elements, and hay can make a soft place to lay down on. We don't even know how long they were there. Our reading from Luke says, while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. How long did Mary and Joseph stay in that barn before Jesus came? A night? A few days? A week? We don't know. All we know is that Luke tells us that Jesus was born there, then wrapped in bands of cloth and laid in a manger, a food dish for animals. I don't know about you, but I have to wonder if this is what Mary thought her life would be like when she agreed to carry the Son of God. Did Mary think that maybe life would get a little easier? Maybe somehow she and Joseph might find themselves rich, or at least maybe comfortable. I might have thought certain privileges came with being the parents of the Son of God. But if that were the case, then could we believe that God could understand our lives? If Mary's life had changed, if somehow suddenly she and Joseph found themselves on Easy Street, or if God had come in a grander way, a king in a castle kind of way, born into luxury and power, could we possibly think God could understand our struggles in life? Patrick Thomas, a Welsh author and Anglican priest, says that in every Welsh nativity scene, a washerwoman accompanies Mary, Joseph, and Jesus at the manger. For in the Welsh tradition, if Jesus isn't born daily into the common household, then there's really no point of celebrating the birth at Bethlehem. That is the point of the story, isn't it? That Jesus is born to the common, to the everyday kind of person, to the lost and lonely, to the poor and forgotten, to those that struggle, who maybe have to walk a long, unsafe route to a better life, who arrive dirty and hungry and thirsty and scared. That is the miracle, the amazing grace of this night. As the letter to Titus says in chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared." The grace of God has appeared in the form of a fragile baby, with only his poor young parents to protect him in a strange town with no real shelter but a barn. The Son of God, born into the messiness, craziness, unfairness, yes, into the uncommonness of our ordinary lives. And as that baby, Jesus is swaddled in warmth, in love, and in the safety his parents provide. In his newborn fragility, Jesus is dependent on those who care for him. And yet, even then, as Eugene Peterson's translation of John 1:16 through 17, which is part of the Gospel of John's Christmas story, says, we all live off Jesus's generous bounty, gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses and then from Jesus, this exuberant giving and receiving. Even in his first moments of existence, a human being, God the Son, now the baby Jesus, teaches us our first lesson, that in this imperfect world into which he comes, we need each other. All of us, infant, child, young adult, middle-aged, and elderly, need the care of family, friends, neighbors, and sometimes strangers, and to be swaddled in the love of God. Perhaps this was among the things Mary pondered in her heart that night. Perhaps she realized right then that she really had all she would ever need: family, the kindness of strangers, and the grace of God. Amen.